certainly a privilege and an honor to be a part of this worship experience as we recognize Black History Month and more specifically the Civil Rights Movement, which this Sunday we call Civil Rights Sunday. There is a word from the Lord today. It's a word of remembrance and encouragement. It's not so much a word of high holy praise, but there is something to be thankful for. And so let us look now to the word of God, which is found in the book by the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 29 through 31. And it is on your screen, and it reads as thus. Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these things? All these. He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and called them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain? O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. God, I thank you for this opportunity to stand behind this sacred desk. I thank you for my pastor, my mentor, my friend, who encourages God and who shares this desk with us. Lord, I thank you for my sojourner, Reverend Hayes, on today and all those who have gone on to youth church. Lord, I bless you for the Mount Olive Baptist Church and the opportunity to serve here. It is in your name that we pray and we give honor. Amen. I am a recipient of, as many of you are, as not just the ones who stood, but others who may not have marched in Washington, or maybe you have not had dogs bite you, but you've had other experiences, and some of you may not have had any, but we are all recipients of what was done during the Civil Rights Movement. I remember while I was in seminary, I took a class called Women in the Civil Rights Movement, and part of my assignment requirements for that course was that I had to interview someone who knew something about the Civil Rights Movement. And Deaconess Gussie Langston was so helpful. I got to interview her, and she helped me with that assignment. And I give praises unto God to her as we both shared something very significant. As we talked, and she didn't rush me, we talked for over an hour. And we shared how she came here as a young person, but nevertheless, she still has struggles right here in Hackensack. But before leaving the South, just as before I left the South, we were not even allowed to go into a department store and try on a pair of shoes. Our parents had to mark our feet out on a piece of brown paper and take it to the store and purchase our shoes. And so we've come a long way. We've come a long, long way. And as we know, this being Black History Month, a time when we remember and commemorate and remember the history of African Americans in this United States of America. As a church, we have a responsibility to acknowledge this time, this period in the history of our people and our country. A very rich and powerful history of a people who, although they came to these shores as slaves, their resilience, their faith, survived the Middle Passage, the life of slavery, and all the brutality that was afflicted upon them. All as slaves, they all were denied their culture. They were denied their language. They were denied their customs. And their lives changed the instant that they were captured. Some might say America is different now. We should move on, forgetting those horrific times and focus on now and focus on the future of our children. I agree with focusing on now. I agree with focusing on the future. But we must also remember what God has done for us. If we forget our yesterdays, if we forget what God has brought us through, if we forget the God that gave strength to our ancestors to survive, if we forget the God who gave power to the weak and to the weary, we have not given our God what he is due. As we look now, as we look at our Jewish brothers and our Jewish sisters who refuse to forget their history, whether it was from biblical times or times of the Holocaust when Hitler tried to annihilate all of them, or all the other times in history that they have been brutalized and oppressed. But they remember. Not only do they remember, but they teach their children to remember. They remember the Passover and how God brought them out of Egypt. They remember the celebration of Purim as they were in captivity. They know and they realize that if they forget their past will be repeated in their future. They have opened museums. They have helped this generation and future generations to remember what the ancestors have lived through. Like our Jewish brothers and sisters, remembering our history will only strengthen our future and the generations to come. I remember as a child growing up in South Carolina and then later on moving to the Bronx because my parents were civil rights workers. My father lost all of his farming equipment. My mother lost her job. And so my father left and to work so that he could send money back to support us. I remember days of being hungry. And I also remember days when although we were hungry, the community rallied around and helped us and food was provided for us. I remember that my father came in the middle of the night, one 4th of July weekend in 1966, and took his family and brought us north to the Bronx. And because of that, we were always expected to do well in school. We were always expected to obtain a higher education, something that they were not able to do. We were expected to achieve more and to have better jobs, giving our children even more opportunities than the ones that we had had. Now, as we look at these scripture verses that we have heard in our reading, they come from part two of the book of Isaiah. The first 39 chapters of Isaiah deals with the impending judgment, and the second part deals with the forgiveness and the deliverance. And the last 27 chapters deals with our Savior. You see, there are 66 chapters in Isaiah, just as there are 66 chapters in our Bible. The Old Testament deals with the sin of the people of Israel, and the New Testament deals with the Savior who came from Israel. There is a distinct different tone and message beginning here in this chapter 40. But Isaiah wrote the second half of this book to the people of Israel and Judah who were in exile. They would have been taken away to Babylon. He was prophesying about a time that was yet to come when the nations would be destroyed. Jerusalem and its beautiful temples would lie in ruins and the people would be in captivity. In captivity, they would not need to hear about the pending judgment because they were living in it. They would not need to be reminded of their sin, for they was experiencing the consequences of them on a daily basis. Here in Isaiah, it's referring to the Israelites who were in captivity in Babylon, with no prospect of deliverance, humanly speaking, and yet with a fixed expectation that their God, at just the right time in his plan, would deliver them. You see, in that 28th verse, it says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The God is that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom." God's people who were in captivity were being encouraged by Isaiah that God is able to bring them out. Not only is he able to bring them out of captivity, he is able to restore them and strengthen them. Amen. You see in that verse 29 and 30, he says, "He gives strength to the weary and increases power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. The Lord knows all about our journey, and he knows where we are not. The Lord knows that along the way we have become weary and weak, but he promised to strengthen us and give us power to forge on. The Lord knows that just as the Israelites had to be reminded that he brought their ancestors out of the bondage of Egypt, that we too must not forget. We too must remember that we were brought out of slavery, out of Jim Crow, out of segregation, and even more. We serve a God that is able. The Lord knows some of us have gotten tired and that we have dropped the ball in so many ways and forgotten about our past. He is saying to us today, don't you get weary and don't you get tired, because there is still work yet to be done. You see, in 1776, when the American colonies became a free nation from Great Britain, Thomas Jefferson, along with the fathers of America, wrote and signed the Declaration of Independence, which says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. When America was born, slaves had no rights, and free people of color and women had even fewer rights. Even after slavery ended, people of African descent continued to experience discrimination and were denied full citizenship rights as a result of Jim Crow, as it pervaded over our land. Nevertheless, God is God, who loves the oppressed, and he is the king of justice. So the Holy Spirit empowered people like Rosa Parks, Medgar Evers, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King Jr., who initiated, who formed, and led the civil rights movement, which dismantled legalized segregation in the 1960s. Finally, descendants of African slaves had full citizenship rights in America. As we know, Dr. King and other African Americans and others who were African American, who were not African Americans, fought and died for the freedom of this country. In our litany today, we heard a few names that were mentioned, names that we may not have recognized. But some of those names were people who were not African American. They were white people. They were Jewish people. They were people who were in the fight with us. I remember as a kid, the three men that were killed and buried and looked, their bodies were searched for and no one could find them. They came right through my town. I remember that there were others who helped us along the way. And we must remember that we didn't come this way by ourselves, that God empowers everybody to do what they're called to do. There are people working together as we sit here right now in this worship service to take our voting rights away. Why? Because once they take our rights, they take our voting rights, they take our human rights. Our rights to an equal opportunity for education, housing, health services, and social security. Our rights to live as a free human being in our country. Our rights to live from racial profiling and obscure discrimination. It's not easy to fight against injustice. It takes courage. It takes patience. It takes persistence. It takes perseverance. And it takes passion. It's not easy to fight against injustice, but it is necessary. You see, Dr. Martin Luther King says, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. In other words, we can never have a just society if we allow injustice to exist anywhere. I've heard Minister Saar talk about his time in Liberia and how he had to run for his life as his country was going through a civil unrest. We have civil unrest right here in this country. As I told you earlier, my father came for us in the middle of the night, and we escaped to what we call freedom, the North. I feel like Harriet Tubman. I had went through the railroad trying to get to a safe place. But God knows what we need, and God knows how to provide it. As long as anyone in our faith community is caught up in the bondage of fear because of their race, because of their gender, or their immigration status, we are all in bondage because we are connected in Christ. You see, during the civil rights movement, a lot of clergy, both black and white, were against Dr. King. Reverend Ralph Abernathy, Reverend Joseph Lowry, and others who organized a nonviolent coalition to fight against the unjust Jim Crow law in the South. A lot of people felt that Dr. King should have just continued to pastor his middle-class black church in Birmingham, Alabama, and leave things just as they were, equal, separate, but unequal. But deep down inside of King, he knew that he had to make a difference. He knew that he had to stand up and fight against segregation, even if it meant hurt, harm, danger, or even death for him and his family. It would have been easy for Dr. King to stay in the North and teach after he finished his seminary education at Boston University. You see, he had a PhD. Dr. King was a brilliant man, so he could have easily have chosen the way of comfort, of teaching in academia in the North over challenging the transforming of the South. But when Dr. King was called to be pastor of Dexter Avenue Baptist Church, he accepted because he knew that he would not know true happiness in the North if his brothers and sisters in the South were still in oppression. It drove Dr. King to tears to see how people who professed to be Christians would treat African Americans so horribly. But he didn't have a pity party and drown himself in tears. Dr. King and countless others spoke up, stood up, and marched with courageous faith to make a difference in the lives of people who were not being treated as equal and American citizens. In this last verse, verse 31, as we bring it in now, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not get weary. They will walk and not faint. So on this Sunday worship service, as we celebrate the history of African Americans in this country, let us not do so without remembering that God made it possible for us to be here, for us to survive as live as free men and women. He promised us. God promised us in his word that if we hoped in him, that he would renew our strength. No president, no Congress, and no Senate. God himself said that he would help us to soar on wings like eagles. You see, he promised us that although we run, that we would not get weary. He promised us that we would be able to walk and not faint. You see, the word says that we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthened us. We become better Christians and the people around us become better Christians when we fight for justice. Y'all, we may not talk about it a lot, but Jesus was about justice. Jesus came for those who were disenfranchised. Jesus came for those who were hungry. Jesus came for those who were left out. So while we are here, let us fight for what is right. The word of God says in Galatians 3:26 and 28, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself in Christ. There is neither Jew or Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. As the struggle continues, let us remember that although our eternal freedom is in heaven, and it is from that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus. But until we get there, we won't go back to the way that it used to be. You see, President Barack Obama, I believe he's begun a good work, especially what he was given to work with. I'm glad he's standing firm in his quest for health care reform, for education, for energy conservation, and immigration reform. But even though I support President Barack Obama, I stand on the word of Almighty God that says to us, know that your hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. We should not expect President Barack Obama or any other man or woman to be our savior, Because you see, our Savior was with God in the beginning, and all things came into being through him. Our Savior thought it was not robbery to be born in a manger because there was no room in the inn. You see, our Savior healed the lame and gave sight to the blind. He proclaimed the coming of the kingdom of God. You see, our Savior fed the hungry with food and heavenly knowledge. You see, our Savior marched in Jerusalem even though he knew that he would be betrayed and put to death. Our Savior hung on a cross, bled and died for you and for me. But 3 days later, when it seemed that all hope was lost, he got up with all power in his hand. And because he got up, he is both Lord and Savior. What is his name? What is his name? His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. But you see, at the mention of his name, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. The enemies of the cross can take away our physical life, but they can never take away our eternal life. You see, they can take away our liberty, but they can never take away our blessed assurance that I have been liberated by Christ Jesus. They can take away our pursuit of happiness in America, but they can never take away our joy, unspeakable joy. Oh, bless his name. Jesus is Lord. He is Lord. He's the Alpha. He is the Omega. He's the beginning and he is the end. He's your beginning and he will take you to the end. He's whatever you need him to be. God is able to lift us up and take us through. As I close on today, I thought about closing with a portion of Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech. But I decided to choose something because, you see, the dream has already been sent out. He spoke it. He spoke it into the atmosphere. And we have seen slowly it is happening, but the dream is unfolding. But we don't stop here. We are going forward. We're going forward because God has promised us that he's going to empower us to go forward. We're not going to accept less, and we're not going to accept any junk. We are made in the image of Christ. We belong to him. And because we belong to him, we can have what everybody else has. He's an equal opportunity God. So today I'd like to close with just some lyrics to a song, I Won't Go Back. Because of the power of the Almighty God came and changed our situation. Let us not forget then and say to ourselves and say to each other and empower each other to say, I won't go back to the way that it used to be. You see, for God told Jeremiah the prophet, he said, for I know the plan that I have for you, declare the Lord. A plan to prosper you and to not harm you. A plan to give you a hope and a future. I'm not sure about you right now, what your status is. But I ask you today that as we enter into this Lenten season, that you would go before the Lord in prayer and allow him to examine your heart and see if your passport is stamped heaven bound. Because you see, we won't go back. We won't go back to the way that it used to be. The words to this song says, I've been changed, healed, freed, and delivered. You see, I found joy, peace, grace, and favor. I've been changed. You see, I've been changed in the presence of the Lord. I've been healed. I've been freed. I've been delivered in the presence of the Lord. I found joy, I found peace, grace, and favor. And right now in this moment, I've been changed. I won't go back. I can't go back to the way that it used to be. Before your presence came and changed me, say, I won't go back. I won't go back to the way that it used to be. We can't go back. We won't go back. God has promised us to keep us. He wants us to forge ahead to see what the end might be. run this race with victory, knowing that our Lord and our Savior has empowered us to do just that. Don't give up and don't you give in. He promised us that he would help our weariness. He promised us he'd help us when we got tired. He promised us that he'd give us wings to fly if we cannot walk and we cannot run. May we stand now and give God the praise.